Oh, it's a great story because I decided to tackle this project after the two-decade reign of Dan, Tom, and Peter came to an end, and suddenly you have this new cast of characters competing, trying to get the anchor jobs, first of all, competing against each other in the ratings war, trying to cover these tremendously divisive stories like the Iraq War, the midterm elections, now the presidential campaign, at a time when their very franchises are threatened. So I chronicle how CBS lured Katie Couric from the Today Show, why she's had her problems. I chronicle how Charlie Gibson belatedly was installed in the anchor chair after the experiment with Bob Woodruff and Elizabeth Vargas did not work out. Brian Williams inheriting Tom Brokaw's audience, but now slipping from number two and trying to maybe show a little more of his sense of humor. He's going to be hosting Saturday Night Live in a couple of weeks. I mean, you couldn't pick a better time to try to go behind the scenes, as I did, spend a lot of time in New York, in the studio, in the control room, to answer the question, who are these people? How do they decide what news to cover, what news not to cover, and what impact do they have on our lives?
Now, it is interesting, and you portray this in reality show, and that is the networks. Katie Couric, it's considered that she maybe faltered when she initially started out by, because there were some different things that they put on the broadcast, some things that some people say didn't really work. You talk about, in your book, about ABC, before, of course, the situation happened with Bob Woodward in Iraq and Elizabeth Vargas getting pregnant, but how they were trying to do a different type of hybrid show. So these network presidents or news division presidents, you know, they're trying to keep that audience still there. They're trying to do different things, and yet none of them seem to really be working, or do they?
Well, you know, if you look at the long term, you see the arrows all pointing down because we have so many more media choices these days. At the same time, 25 million Americans right now are watching these three newscasts every night, so they still have considerable impact. But, you know, you have to be a good journalist to be an anchor, but personality is an undeniable part of the package, and so it's not by accident that CBS spent $75 million to hire Katie Couric away from the Today Show, and she did make a lot of mistakes early on. She added too many fluffy segments to the CBS Evening News. She missed or minimized or just blew off some important stories that the other networks were covering, and guess what? The core audience, the one that really wants the straightforward news summary and analysis, got alienated, and a lot of them went over to Charlie Gibson at ABC. Now CBS is trying to correct those errors by going back to a more traditional hard news broadcast, but that's such a constricted format that Katie Couric not really able to show her personality. You mentioned ABC. They wanted to go to a younger generation. Bob Woodruff, Elizabeth Vargas, both in their 40s. Woodruff, unfortunately, injured in Iraq, and then Vargas got pregnant. Her numbers were not good. They announced that she wanted to spend more time with her baby, but the fact that she was forced out of that job. Charlie Gibson, the aging veteran, called off the bench, and suddenly, without any publicity compared to Katie Couric, he sneaks into first place because he's a very comfortable presence on the air, and he's closer in age to the older crowd that watches these nightly newscasts.
You write, you have a chapter in the reality show called Mind Games, in which you write about what goes on in these newsrooms, and the question, of course, what is news? And I guess this is not anything original, but you write in the book about how the fact that the morning newspapers, the big national newspapers, predominantly the New York Times and Washington Post, but also the Wall Street Journal and LA Times, in many cases, what's on the front page of those papers is going to be the front story on those network newscasts.
Well, you know, I knew that going in, but what stunned me as a lifelong newspaper guy is the extent to which these papers, and particularly the New York Times, really set the agenda, not just at the top of the newscast. It was one day when the Times had this feature story about a guy who recovered a Corvette that was stolen from him in 1969. All three network newscasts did that feature story that night. There's a lot of examples of that, and they often rip these stories off without any credit. But more importantly, if these newscasts are going to survive, they got to give people like me, and certainly younger people, a reason to watch, a reason to tune in at 6:30, and they just regurgitate what was in the New York Times, and they're not accomplishing that. They need to take more chances, do more original reporting. They need to do more on the internet. Brian Williams writes a blog every day, and that's a step probably in the right direction. But otherwise, that audience is gonna move on at some point, and they don't seem to have many younger replacements waiting in the wings.